Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
You know, people say that we need adults back in America, but I think that's overrated because we've got a guy who's 79 years old or 80 what years old, and he controls the nuclear weapons, and he doesn't even know what he's saying.
I still want to get back to your original words that he cannot remain in power. Can you help us understand, you have more foreign policy experience than any president who has ever held this office. Whether those are your personal feelings or your feelings as president, do you understand why people would believe you, as someone commanding one of the largest nuclear arsenals in the world, saying someone cannot remain in power is a statement of U.S. policy? And also, are you concerned about propaganda use of those remarks by the Russians?
No and no.
Tell me why. You have so much experience. You are the leader of this country.
Because it's ridiculous. Nobody believes we're going to take down. I was talking about taking down Putin. Nobody would believe.
And then on the other side of the entertainment spectrum, we've got Hollywood Oscar witch slappers slapping each other like witches did in days of old.
Keep my wife's name out your f***ing mouth.
Talking about this and other things. Today is Charles Lipson, Professor Emeritus, the Peter B. Ritzma Chair at University of Chicago, our friend and writer of many articles and opinion pieces. And I just love the fact that he's cranking them out. No more dithering over Ukraine. How will the battlefield stalemate end in Ukraine? Hunter Biden and the media's feedback loop. I just read the first three on CharlesLipson.com. And of course, joining us as always is Jeff Carlin, executive producer at WGN Radio, who's embarking on another career. Jeff, is that true?
It is, John. I've decided to pull back from media to an extent in radio and go back to school and finish a degree I started a long time ago. In physics, to become a high school secondary and advanced physics teacher. I'm going to be a high school physics teacher. I'm looking forward to it. It's something I've wanted for a long time, and it's a challenge. It certainly is, and it's a challenge I've been looking forward to, and I love learning, so it's a lot of fun.
And you're going to be such a great physics teacher. Could you please invent time travel?
I can't invent time travel.
And
John,
you can send the cats is. Back and forth through time.
If anything's going through time, it's certainly cats.
And I'm John Cass, husband, father, editor in chief of John Cass News. Yeah, yada, yada, yada. And you know where you are with Charles Lipson about to entertain us about fishing on a dock near the river in Mississippi. You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Hello.
There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
Well, as promised, this is a conversation with our good friend, Charles Lipson, Professor Emeritus, University of Chicago, Peter B. Ritzma Chair, and writer, and commentator. You can find his work at charleslipson.com or in The Spectator. Correct, Charles?
That's absolutely right, and sometimes in Real Clear Politics and elsewhere. But everything is at charleslipson.com, which is free, so if you're interested, please sign up.
And I'm looking at the latest, March 26th by Charles Lipson. No more dithering over Ukraine.
Hey, John, when I wrote the word dithering, I thought of Mr. Dithers. Do you remember Mr. Dithers?
Sounds like some radio.
No, he was from he was from the comic strip Blondie, I think.
Yes, that's right.
He was the boss, Mr. Dithers.
Yep.
But we have been dithering on Ukraine. I mean, we've done a lot of good things. Don't get me wrong. I think that Biden has done a good job in helping keep NATO together. He hadn't gotten out in front of his skis on that. I think we've shared. Clearly, we must be behind the scenes sharing real-time intelligence. We've gotten a lot of things into Ukraine. And I don't want to go back and rehearse some of the mistakes we made over the past year or so. But I do want to say that I think that every time you see a cruise missile come in and destroy all the oil facilities, the tanks that are holding oil in Kyiv or in Lviv, those could have been stopped. And they could have been stopped by anti-aircraft and anti-cruise missile weapons that the Ukrainians have been begging for and that we haven't given them. And when we have given them some anti-tank weapons, we've given them the less powerful and less powerful ones that go shorter distances. I don't see what we're keeping those weapons for, and I don't believe that any of those would constitute a striking escalation. I do think that it's absolutely right to say that we need to be concerned about not getting into anything that looks like U.S. or NATO forces could be fighting Russian forces that could lead to unpredictable kinds of escalation. But I do think that if we're not going to provide things like clear skies for the Ukrainians, we ought to give them the weapons that they need to do that, and we ought to be giving them the powerful weapons that they need to push the Russians back, because only if they push the Russians back will the Russians negotiate in good faith and make a deal that's acceptable to the Ukrainians.
Well, that's why we have debates, and that's why sometimes even friends disagree. Because one of my columns this week, actually, as we record this, I've just press the button on it, is about Joe Biden blithering and babbling dangerously as he came back, as he was in Poland. And the headline is, Can America Handle 3 More Years of Joe Biden?
Yeah, consider the alternative, Kamala Harris. Boy, she's an insurance policy, isn't she? I mean, the people who say that's why she was put there, I don't think that's right. They thought it would be a close. They thought it would be a close election, and they wanted the best person they could get in terms of vote getting. But Biden. Well,
they should.
Whenever Biden goes Klobuchar. Off, that's correct.
Amy yeah. Klobuchar, because she at least reads her briefing books.
Right? Yeah, and throws them. But Amy Klobuchar is actually smart and competent. I mean, you can disagree with her on policy, and I often do. But Kamala Harris appears to be a real lightweight. If she doesn't wear heavy shoes, she'd just float away. Joe Biden, you just have to watch him walking around and hope he doesn't walk into an open manhole.
I mean, well, you've been charitable in terms of his approach to Ukraine, but Jeff
has
compiled some sound that we'd like you to listen to and react to it.
There you go.
For God's sake, this man cannot remain power.
The White House trying to make clear in the aftermath, or making very clear in the aftermath, he was not, in fact, calling for regime change.
And you're going to see when you're there, and some of you have been there, you're going to see women young people stand in the middle of front of a damn tank.
White House officials are telling us that President Biden does not intend to send U.S. troops into Ukraine.
If chemical weapons were used in Ukraine, would that trigger a military response from NATO?
It would trigger a response in kind.
The United States has no intention of using chemical weapons, period, under any circumstance.
Yep.
Well, other than that, how did he do?
And then the latest one was that he was asked to about these skin backs or walk backs that his administration had to perform for him. And he said, quote, what's getting walked back? And then he's reminded politely of the three topics, American troops in Ukraine, America using chemical weapons in response to Russia using chemical weapons, saying Putin cannot be remain in power for God's sake. And the president said, and I quote, none of the three occurred. None of the three.
Who are you going to believe, me or your lying ears? I mean, it's very upsetting on two levels, right? You want the leader of your country, and in this case, leader of the free world, to have some degree of cognitive competence, to put it mildly. And the second thing is some of the comments, you'll be going into Ukraine and we'll respond in kind and we want Putin out. You can try to walk them back, but you're sending messages to the other side. I mean, this is just... And then, of course, Biden then says, well, no, I'm not walking anything back, and you didn't hear what I was really saying and all the rest. I mean, it's just the emperor has no clothes.
Yeah. And it's, again, we say this a ton here. It's why elections matter. We have to elect competent, ethically minded people to be our voice to the world, because they can say stupid crap like this and wind up dragging us into World War III.
Jeff, wasn't that what the hysterics were all about, or at least they told us they were about for the past 4 years previous to Biden? That there was an incompetent in the White House.
Right.
We needed to use the 25th Amendment to get him out of there.
Dangerous to the democracy.
Dangerous to the democracy. Saying the wrong things, you know, and it adds to the hysteria. And now, what is going to happen? I'd like to be a bookie. I'll take bets. I'll take bets, and I don't want to profit on this. But I don't see Biden making 3 years here.
It's going to be a long 3 years if he does. And for an entirely different reason than it was the last 4 years. And how much does it suck as us as a populace to have to lurch from one crazy, crazy president and administration to the next?
You know, I sometimes feel like that cereal commercial where Mikey, he doesn't like anything, you know, because if you look at the last three presidential candidates, Trump, Biden, and Clinton, the serious
Obama. No candidates.
Well, I'm going to leave aside Obama for a second. The seriousness of the scandals surrounding them is really quite troubling. Mm-hmm. In the case of Trump, it wasn't the ones that they tried to impeach him for. I thought Trump, the problems related to Trump really came about in the aftermath of the election. And I think the fact that he has never really acknowledged that he lost the election is a problem in a democracy. And I would go one step further. When he was hinting, and more than hinting, that Barack Obama wasn't in office as a legitimate president because he wasn't a natural-born U.S. citizen, and now, in effect, saying that that Joe Biden is not a legitimate president. That's twice. That's not once. He's saying I'm the only legitimate president. And I think that's very troubling. In the case of Hillary, we know all the serious problems that are associated and the dirty tricks and all the rest. And Durham may or may not ultimately indict her. I think that would probably be reaching to try to indict her, but it looks like a conspiracy that was run out of her campaign and involving a lot of very senior people and involving millions of dollars, which could not be done without the boss, the boss's approval. It may have been a wink and a nod, or it may have been more than that. In the case of Biden, one of the rules, I'm sure, in the Chicago outfit is you don't have a drug-addled guy as your bag man. I mean, loose lips sink ships. Yeah, and now, whether you can actually say that you can prove that Joe Biden knew what was going on. They were clearly selling access, not just the son, but the brother, James.
Right.
We're clearly selling access, making millions of dollars in doing it. In Hunter's case, maybe not paying taxes or registering as a foreign agent or some of the things that he should do. The reason it's an issue is that nobody thinks for a minute that any of that would have happened without Joe Biden being in power. By the way, the Clinton Foundation did all of that on an industrial scale.
Yes.
So the point I'm making, the larger point I'm making, is that the candidates who've run for office in America over the last 4 or 5 years, since 2016, I'm not going back to Obama and trying to rehearse all of that. These have been very deeply flawed candidates, and that's trouble.
Yeah, that nail. I mean, that's you're absolutely right, and I don't know how we remind people that it just doesn't have to be this way.
Oh, but, and I would add one more thing, Jeff.
Yeah,
The scandal with Hunter's laptop not just a scandal about Hunter; it's a scandal about the media.
Yeah, China. We got kind of tipped to that last week. I mean, the New York Times. Oh, just kidding. That was a thing. Our bad. Like,
and that was almost certainly leaked to them by Hunter's people, who were trying to get ahead of what they must think is going to be an indictment.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. So there's two things there. While the people of Ukraine are suffering, and while blood is on the ground, is that Hunter made money in Ukraine through a corrupt system, both in Ukraine and the United States. I'll speak to the part in the United States where his father leveraged or allowed his name to be leveraged, to make money. And then the media covered it up and big tech suppressed it. And I was writing columns for the paper at the time, and people were whispering and shaking their fingers at me. Oh, you don't know what you're doing. Oh, you're going too far over the edge. Oh, the New York Times doesn't think this is a story. National Public Radio doesn't think this is a story.
They wrote it. The National Public Radio's news editor wrote a memo saying it was just a distraction. It wasn't a real news story.
And the third thing, thank you, Charles. And the third thing, and I think probably the most devastating, which dovetails into our understanding and the way we look at Ukraine or any statements about foreign countries and what they're doing, is that 50 senior intelligence officers signed a letter on behalf of Joe Biden saying that they thought that the Hunter laptop story had, quote, all the earmarks of Russian disinformation, allowing the media to ignore it right before an election.
And they gave cover to the cover up.
And now 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 the people of our country have to assess what's going on over there and in other parts of the world, and we can't believe anything anyone is saying.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah,
it's absolutely right, and it's very troubling. By the way, these weren't minor figures in the intelligence community. They included a lot of former directors of the CIA and directors of national intelligence and all the rest. And then when John Ratcliffe, who was then the director of national intelligence, came out and said, there is no indication whatever that this is a Russian plant. This is a real laptop and so forth. The media just ignored it and did worse than ignoring it. Social media, one news outlet really investigated and published, and that was the New York Post. Fox News ran some of it. But Twitter and Facebook didn't allow the New York Post story to circulate. And in fact, if you or I had posted a link to the New York Post story, we would have been suspended from those platforms. And the New York Post was itself suspended. It's just a scandal.
Yeah.
And actually, it is. If you go to charleslipson.com, everyone, charleslipson.com, you'll see his story from the Spectator, I believe. Hunter Biden and the media's feedback loop. If you're waiting for an apology from partisan journalists, you will wait in vain.
And I think that one of the dangers of our fragmented media world is a kind of echo chamber in which everybody, the term social scientists use is confirmation bias.
Yes.
Where everybody looks to things that confirm their pre-existing positions, and it kind of locks everybody in, and I think that that's unfortunate, but it's just the nature of the world.
Well, then I would ask both of you to tell me, why is it that Will Smith can play Muhammad Ali in a movie, and then when he goes up to Chris Rock, he, what's the word, Jeff, that I could use? Witch slaps him.
Right. Sounds like. I see.
Sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that? I mean, you can't put a guy, you got 100 pounds on him and 8 inches and you can't put him down?
Wow. But that, I think there's a cultural aspect to it, John, that, you know, an open hand slap on a guy who's, you know, it's like the old gauntlet thing, you know, that it was more for impact than effect, if you will, you know.
Well, that's when the guy pulls out the stick, like the guy did in the CTA station,
right,
and starts popping rounds off, right?
Yeah, well, the employee did at the CTA station, allegedly.
Well, I think there's a problem of impulse control.
You think?
Yeah. To put it mildly, but I think that's a big problem in our society. Things like tweeting and so forth only encourage that. People who listen to this podcast probably know about the it's sometimes called the cookie or the donut challenge, where they sit 4-year-olds or 5-year-olds at a little table and they put a cookie on the table and they say, you can eat the cookie anytime you want, but if you don't eat it for the next 10 minutes, maybe it's 15, I'll leave the room. And if you don't eat it before I come back in 10 or 15 minutes, you'll get 2 cookies. And they've done that test all over the world, and it is a remarkably strong predictor of future success in life.
So I always fail, no matter what kid I'm pretending to be?
Well, I think because there are so many things in life where the reward for the hard work you put in is not immediate. Nobody thinks they're going to ever use trigonometry. But They think, A, good grades in it may help me get into a better university, and B, I need trigonometry in order to take calculus, and I need calculus in order to do a lot of the high technology things that I might want to major in, computers or engineering or physics or any number of other things. And if you don't have that ability to look over a longer term, you hear an insult and you feel like you immediately have to respond to it, that's a problem. And we found one of the findings was that poor children often couldn't wait, were not able to wait for 15 minutes. And finally, and they were trying to figure out why that was so. It's not because they're less smart or something. And they finally asked them, some researcher did the obvious thing, which is ask a kid. And what they began to find out was that in a lot of those family situations, if you, John Cass, said to your kids, I'm going down to the store, I'll be out for 15 minutes and then I'll be back. You were. Now, there may be a time that you couldn't come back, but in general, if you told them something, it came to be. But in more disorganized families, the mother might go out dancing. She might say, I'm going to be back, but then she just didn't come back at all. And under those circumstances, the reasonable thing for the child to do is get what you can while you can. And so you're teaching the child the exact wrong thing. So in addition to displaying really bad behavior in a public setting, and then the crowd apparently, I didn't watch it, but the crowd apparently applauded Will Smith later.
Yes, when he tearfully talked about wanting to become a man of peace.
Right. it's just a crock. What do they say? You can put all the sincerity in Hollywood into a flea's navel and still have room for an agent's heart.
That's a good
one. I didn't know that fleas had umbilical cords, but I
learned something new every day, John.
But guys, you know why I don't know that? Because I'm not a biologist.
Oh God. You know what the follow-up question to that should have been, John?
You mean to the Supreme Court justice who did not want to tell us she knew what a woman was?
Yeah, the follow-up question is, what is an African-American? And I don't think she would have answered that. And the reason, I think, is that these are incredibly contested political issues now. They don't, the people who post on Facebook that Abraham Lincoln quote, if I told you a dog's tail was a leg, how many legs would a dog have? And the answer is 4, because a tail isn't a leg.
Right.
But, if you answer one way or another on African-American or woman or something like that, that has a huge legal implications, right? We count things for African Americans. We have set asides for African Americans, for women, for women's sports, or we used to.
Yes, we used to have such a thing called women's sports. Before you go, I got to ask you, have you seen any of these Oscar movies? Because I haven't.
No. I've spent, to the extent that I watch TV, besides watching a variety of news shows, I tend to watch things like English murder mysteries.
Because you write 3 columns a week, just like me. I'm crazy. I thought I was the only crazy one.
Well, that's true.
The output here.
That is true. But I must say that those those streaming shows have created a new form, right? Just like there didn't exist something called a sitcom until network radio came in, right?
Right.
I mean, it didn't exist in vaudeville.
Right.
And
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Yes. a Chicago show, right? Mm-hmm. Lone Ranger was a Detroit show. By the way, do you know the name of the club that all those radio actors had that I think may have been in the Wrigley building? It was called the Bridges Up Club because that was their excuse whenever they showed up late.
After a three martini lunch. At
yes, exactly. They were going from WMAQ or whatever it was called then to WLS or something like that. And if they were late, the bridge was up.
My dad was a waiter at the Wrigley building.
Really?
During the time he was also a waiter at the Hilton because he had to, work lunches and then dinners.
Mm.
And, he used to say, I can't believe how these Americani drink. They drink martinis and the only thing they eat is olives. That's the only thing they eat. One martini, two martinis.
Boy, those days are gone, aren't they? I mean, if you went out to a business lunch, now you live in the world of newspapers. That was different.
Gene and Giorgetti, yeah.
Right, right. But,
Tanqueray martini on the rocks with John salad, which means like six blue cheese and olives.
I've seen you at that back table in Gene and Giorgetti.
Yes, we've been there. And we should go again, the three of us. Could we?
I've got a story. I've got a Gene and Giorgetti story. I've got one that can't be told on the air.
All right.
But I've got one that can be.
All right.
And, it was a man and his daughter standing outside. There are some places that you can go to that I would call daughter or date, where you're trying to figure out whether the guy is with the daughter or date. But that's not Gene and Giorgetti's. In Gene and Giorgetti's, the guy was out.
That's uncle and niece.
Exactly. So the guy is standing out there with his niece or daughter or whatever. And a guy comes up waiting for his car, probably a Mercedes or something. And he looks over at the girl and he says, "You look mighty good to me." And she, not thinking, uh-oh, this guy could be a maid guy or something else, says to him, "You're too short for me."
I think I know that guy. Yeah.
Uh-oh. He looks at her and says, "I am short. I'm even shorter than this, but I'm standing on a huge stack of my own money."
Because he's got the biggest stack in Chicago.
Exactly.
I
thought that was the best response. I may be short. I'm shorter than this, but I'm standing on a huge stack of my own money.
Sounds like maybe we could write that for Mayor Phallus Maximus so she could use that in their next debate.
That's a great name for it, too, since she used the phrase.
Maybe she can have one of her 65 officers working for her safety.
Oh, God.
Perform. Oh, I'm sorry.
Good Lord. That is amazing.
That was a Fran Spielman story.
Yeah, great.
It's become a national story. The Daily Mail in England ran it today.
Yeah.
So, but I'll tell you something. I was driving down a street next to mine yesterday, and there were hole patches for 5 and 6 feet where there wasn't a hole. Okay. I mean, you have never seen, it was just one pothole after the next. And I thought, and this was a street with nice homes paying a lot of taxes.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't just because it was after the winter. These potholes have been there since Daley the Elder was the mayor.
I don't think those potholes are in front of Louis Farrakhan's house.
I'll bet they're not. But I'll tell you something. I thought, what is it that a local government is supposed to do? It's supposed to provide you schools, public safety, and decent roads. Those are kind of three basic obligations. And Chicago has failed on all three.
That's for sure.
But we do have a mayor with a most impressive set of, I don't know what to say now, because I'm not a biologist, Lori.
Well, what she doesn't have is political skill.
Yes. But we'll get to that on another. You know what? This is good. We got to do this again where we just show up here and we talk, because you are just the best conversationalist in the world.
Indeed.
And probably people, your family should probably rent you out as a companion at dinner parties when they're going to have a dull dinner party and you show up and you'd be.
Check is in the mail, John and Jeff. The check is in the mail, my friends.
Thank you, Charles, for being here with us. And I'll send you a picture of me with a huge steel head while I'm wearing my No Chumbalone Zone hat. Okay? It'll just be between me and you.
Have a good day, my friends.
Thanks, buddy.
See you, Charles.
Thanks,
Charles. That was great.
Love that
was day. So much fun. I love talking with you guys anytime. Okay.
All right, buddy. See you. For Charles Lipson, Professor Emeritus, University of Chicago, Peter B. Ritzma Chair, a frequent contributor, writer for Real Clear Politics, Spectator, World, Newsweek, Discourse Magazine, American Greatness, The Wall Street Journal. You could read him if you go to on the interweb to charleslipson.com, a gracious gentleman and a scholar, a real one. And for Jeff Carlin, who's going camping, right, Jeff?
Yeah, going to get away to a cabin in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, then don't bring your phone. Don't bring your laptop.
Yeah. Bring a couple of good books and some firewood.
Pay attention to Christine. Yeah, bring books and I would say a couple bottles of wine.
Oh, of course.
And for me, John Cass, husband, father, editor-in-chief at johncassnews.com with the great sexy man, sexy time billboard, where I'm looking down at you and I'm about ready to climb off the billboard if I see you texting one more time while you're driving.
Seriously.
On the expressway. Thanks for being here. Joining us for another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.